may return to the second chapter of Joshua. Second chapter of Joshua. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward ye may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. This is a well-known scripture, I'm sure, to every one of us here, but I believe it does show us in a very wonderful and precious way the matchless grace and love of God. This poor sinner of the Gentiles, Rahab, is an illustration of one who believes God's message of judgment and takes shelter beneath the blood of Christ and accepts a witness of salvation and is delivered from the wrath to come and is elevated to a place among the people of God. Oh, friends, what a marvelous picture we have here of the wondrous grace and love of God to this poor, wretched woman. How wondrous is the grace of God. God picks up the objects of his eternal favor from the very lowest of the most terrible and lowest moral condition. We find that God's grace is sufficient to meet the needs of every sinner, and that wondrous grace has been manifested not only to this poor wicked woman Rahab, but to every one of us here. And friends, what is the grace of God to you? Have you received the grace of God as shown in the person of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? You have heard about this blessed one, the Lord Jesus, many times, but dear friends, let me ask you a searching question. I trust it may search your hearts. If you haven't yet received him, what have you done with him? You cannot take neutral place and stand upon neutral ground when the Son of God is concerned and when the salvation of God is concerned. No, friends, you and I are sinners by nature, like this poor woman, and she was part of that condemned city, and you and I by nature are part of a condemned world, and this world is soon coming under the judgment of God, just as this city Jericho was to come under the judgment of God. But there was one poor woman who was saved from it with her family. How is it she did not come under the judgment of God when this wicked city Jericho fell to the ground at the shout of faith? I believe it was this, not so much that the messengers received her, but the blessed truth is that she received the messengers. That's the point, friends. Have you received the messenger, that heavenly messenger, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom God sent down from heaven to make known to you his heart of love and his infinite grace? I say, friend, what is your attitude to this heavenly messenger? Have you received him? We find here that this poor wicked woman, Rahab, received the messengers of God. She believed God's message of coming judgment upon that city, and she availed herself at once of the remedy, the shelter, that which would afford her shelter when the judgment fell. And we'll see, well, you know what that was, and we'll look at it in a moment. Now, what was Rahab? I suppose she was one of the most wicked women of that city. Scripture speaks of her as a harlot. And I've often wondered why the Lord should send his messengers to a harlot's house. You would think perhaps that was the very last place that God's messengers would go to. But no, friends, it was the first place. We read in the 6th chapter of Joshua that Jericho was straitly shut up shut up against the children of Israel, but whilst it was shut up to them by the multitude, there was one house open to Rahab. Rahab's house was open to these messengers, while the others shut their houses against them. Oh, what a beautiful, precious illustration of one who realizes the truth of coming judgment and takes shelter beneath that scarlet thread. And that constituted for her a place of safety and shelter from the judgment to come. And dear friends, there is only one place of shelter for you tonight as a sinner, and it's the precious, precious blood of Jesus shed at Calvary. Oh, may I ask you, friends, in love for your soul, what is your position tonight with regard to the precious blood of Christ? Are you sheltered by his precious blood? If not, you are exposed to the judgment of God. And we find that this dear woman received the messengers. There's a verse in Hebrews I'd like to turn to in connection with that precious thought. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Ah, that was the secret of her blessing. She had received the spies with peace. She had not shut up her home against them. Her heart was open to receive the message which they had to bring, and her home was open to receive God's messengers. Oh, my dear friend, is your heart open to receive God's heavenly messenger, the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, we find in that first verse of Joshua 6 that Jericho was straitly shut up. Here we have a solemn picture of the way in which Satan fortifies the heart of the sinner against the truth of God. Yes, even the warning of approaching judgment does not seem to stir the sinner up a bit to fly to the shelter of the blood of Christ, that the sinner might be sheltered from the judgment to come. I say, friend, here's a solemn picture. Is your heart shut up against the Christ of God? Is your heart shut up against God's salvation? Have you not yet opened your heart to receive that blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, friend, you've closed your heart against him. It's shut up. And I solemnly warn you, dear sinner friend, if your heart is shut up to shut out the person of Christ as your Savior, the time is coming when you will be shut out from God's presence for all eternity. How solemn. Shut out and shut up. Oh, friend, this will be your solemn lot. I warn you in the fear of God tonight that if you do not open that heart of yours to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in danger of an eternity in hell, and you'll be shut out of God's presence forever. There'll be no salvation offered you then, no mercy, no Christ, no Savior, no heaven. But you'll be abandoned from God in the darkness of hell forever. How solemn. Well, we find here these two men were sent to view the land, even Jericho. And this reminds me of a scripture we get in Psalm 53 and Psalm 102, where the Lord looked down from heaven. What for? Upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. And God had to come to this solemn conclusion, and he made this sweeping, solemn statement. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. Oh, how solemn. God did not merely scan this scene, you know, in a casual way. No, he looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if he could find one to answer to the claims of his heart and his holiness. And he had to say, there is none. Oh, friends, how solemn. And in Psalm 102, we find he looks down again, it's recorded. What for? To hear the groaning of the prisoner and to loose those that are appointed to death. You and I, dear friends, by nature are appointed to death. It's God's appointment to man because of sin. And you, dear sinner friend, if you pursue that sinful course that you're on now, you'll have to keep God's appointment, whether you like it or not. Oh, but thank God there is a way of escape tonight. We find in this blessed chapter a wonderful illustration of the grace and love of God to a poor, wicked wretch, this harlot Rahab, showing her that there was a way of escape from that coming judgment upon that wicked city. And we do not find that she started to reason about it humanly. No, she received the messengers as soon as they came, and she sheltered them, and not only so, we find that she let them down by a cord from the window, that they might escape from that cursed city. And how wonderful and striking to notice the very cord by which she let those messengers down by was the mark and which distinguished her house from all the rest in Jericho. Yes, that house was marked in one way. In what way was it marked in contrast to the others? Our friends, it had the scarlet thread in the window. And there she was, it showed her confidence in that scarlet thread and in the faithful God of Israel. Yes, and you read here that the messengers told her, they said, when we be come into the land, put this scarlet thread in the window, the very thread that you let us down by. This was to be her salvation too. How it proves to me, my dear friends, that there is only one salvation and one way of salvation, and it's through faith in the person of Christ and in his shed blood. And so this very scarlet thread that she let the messengers down by was the very scarlet thread that saved her life through the mercy of God. There is a verse in the fourth chapter of the Song of Solomon. May we just turn to it in connection with this scarlet thread. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. It's very, very beautiful and precious. The fourth chapter of the Song of Solomon, and verse 3. Here the king, speaking to the sparrow, says, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Oh, what a wonderful statement this is. Surely this prefigures the confession of Christ as the sinner's only hope. For we read in Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Scarlet in Scripture is associated with dignity and greatness. And my dear friends, do we not have a name of dignity here in this verse in Romans? The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely that's a name of dignity. Ah, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Oh, how this speaks of the precious blood of Christ and the sinner's only hope. And my dear sinner friend, there may be lots of sinners here tonight, I know not. Remember, friends, that God can look right into your heart where you're sitting, and he knows whether you're truly saved or not. He knows whether you have made an empty profession or whether it's real, whether you have really accepted the Son of God and put your faith in his precious blood. He knows, too, whether you have made an empty profession of faith in him, where there is perhaps no life at all. Oh, friends, let me solemnly warn you that the time of testing is coming for every one of us here. When the Lord comes, and he may come tonight, his coming will test your profession and mine.
For if we have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and have believed in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we are saved, and we will respond to that mighty shout when he comes to claim his own. That'll be the testing time for those who have made an empty profession, like the five foolish virgins, you remember. They were just like the other virgins up to a point. They had the lamps. That speaks of profession, but it definitely tells us they had no oil. No oil, which speaks of the Spirit of God. They had no oil. And it says that when the bridegroom came, they that were ready, what happened to them? They went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Then cometh the other five foolish virgins and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. Haven't you made a mistake? Why, we were in the gospel meeting last week. We've been in the Sunday school for years. Haven't you made a mistake, Lord? Open to us. What did the Lord say? I know you not. Oh, friends, the Lord could never, never, never say that to one of his own. So that proves that those five foolish virgins had no oil. They were just empty professors. They had no faith in Christ. They had no oil. And they were shut out. Shut out. Oh, what a solemn thought. How long for? For all eternity. No hope for them. All hope is gone. But they that were ready, friends, let me ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to meet a holy Savior tonight if he should come? Have your sins been washed away in his precious blood? Oh, this reminds me, too, of that beautiful verse we get in, is it the 30th of Proverbs, or no, the 31st, and verse 21, in connection with the virtuous woman. It says in verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Oh, friends, how this speaks to me of the whole family being sheltered by the blood of Christ, and therefore the virtuous woman has no fear of the future. Oh, our precious friend, do you fear the future? You may well fear the future if you're not sheltered by the blood of Christ, that precious, precious blood of Jesus which was shed at Calvary. And remember, friends, that precious blood was shed for you. Indeed it was. Well, we find in our chapter that the messengers told this poor woman, they said, when we be come to the land, in other words, when we return, now you be sure and put this scarlet thread in the window. How long did she wait? Did she wait until they returned? No, she did not. She put that scarlet thread in the window right away. That dear wicked woman was in dead earnest. She was not going to miss that opportunity of being sheltered behind the scarlet thread which speaks of the precious blood of Christ. She availed herself of that opportunity right away. She did not wait. What are you waiting for, dear friend, tonight? You dear young ones, children of the saints, what are you waiting for? You waiting for a more favorable opportunity to be saved? You'll never get it. God has given you an opportunity tonight, and this may be your last, although it is the first night of the meetings. It may be the very last day of God's grace. And I plead with any young or old here tonight to have to do with God about your sins now, and have the joy through faith in Christ and in his shed blood of having your sins washed away forever, and to know that you are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this dear woman, how beautiful to notice how earnest she was, although she was so wicked. She put that scarlet thread in the window right away, long before the men returned. And now she says in verse 12, she wants a true token. And they gave her a true token. They gave her their word for it. They said, our life for yours. What a true token this was. And dear sinner, do you need a true token tonight that God has forgiven you? for Christ's sake. He has given you a true token because he has raised his beloved Son from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in glory. That blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, proving God's entire and eternal satisfaction in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And remember, friends, the work of Calvary was the work of God through the person of his Son. And I ask you, friend, can you not trust the eternal Son of God who has forever satisfied his Father's heart in the work of the cross? Can you not trust him when God has raised him from the dead to prove to you and me his entire satisfaction of him and his work there? Oh, friends, what more do you need? The blessed Lord Jesus invites you tonight to come to him, to receive him by faith as your Lord and Savior. And have you done it? When are you going to do it? My dear young people, I fear there are many here tonight who have sat under the sound of God's precious word many a time. And perhaps your little young heart is getting hardened to the sound of the gospel. Oh, I warn you, dear friend, do not let that be so at all. Allow the word of God to come home by the power of the Spirit to your heart tonight, to your conscience, convicting you that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And oh, thank God, he has provided the Savior you need in the person of his Son, and he is available tonight, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear friends, there is no other Savior but he. No, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you are to be saved tonight, friends, you have to be saved God's way. And again I say, can you not trust the eternal Son of God who has satisfied God's heart as to the question of sin and your sins? He invites you to receive him tonight as your Lord and Savior. Friends, have you done this? I wonder what would be the response if I came around to everyone here tonight and asked you that solemn question, or that blessed question in one sense of the word, are you saved? What would you say? I hope so. That would be no good, my dear friend, saying that, unless you can say, yes, thank God I am. There's a person here tonight, I'm sure the person will not mind my mentioning this. This was a dear friend we met on the plane. And sitting by my side in the taxi, I turned to this dear friend and I said, friend, where is your destination? Where are you going? She said, thank God I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus. And thank God that dear friend is here tonight, going to be with Jesus in heaven. And she had the assurance of it too, friends. She didn't say, I hope I'm going there. She said, my destination is heaven. Thank God. Oh, praise his name. Is that the case with you, dear young people? Can you say that tonight? My destination is heaven. I am saved. I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am sheltered by his precious blood. We are reminded this afternoon, our brother quoted the scripture in Hebrews 9, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. And there is no remission, friends, apart from the shed blood of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, you know, this doctrine is called the slaughterhouse religion. But my friends, let me warn you that if you are not sheltered by the precious blood of Christ, you'll find yourself in an eternal hell. You will. Oh, how solemn. This dear woman, just think of it. And she's a picture of you. Oh, you say, I'm not a harlot. No, but you're a sinner. You're a sinner. And you need a Savior. You need to be sheltered from the coming judgment. And this dear woman, she availed herself of that opportunity right away, without hesitation. There was no procrastination with her. No, she took that scarlet thread which had saved the others from that city. She put that in the window, and that alone constituted perfect safety and shelter from judgment, which was to fall upon that city. And moreover, Rahab, on that city wall, she could look down upon the assembled armies of the living God without fear or dread at all. Why? Ah, she was sheltered by the scarlet thread. And she had that blessed proof, that true token, our life for yours. And that's why she could look down upon the armies there surrounding that city without any fear whatever. And thank God, you and I, as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can view the judgment to come without fear too, because we know from God's precious word it will never fall upon us. Oh, how precious to know that we who know the Lord Jesus Christ have the assurance from God's word, there is therefore now no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. But my dear friend, it all hinges upon this fact. You are either in Christ Jesus or you are in your sins. Which is it? Oh, let us be honest before God tonight. This may be the very last day of God's grace. Eternity may come upon us before the morning light. And we who know the Lord Jesus Christ will be gone. Yes, we'll be summoned to leave this scene by that mighty shout. And you remember, friends, in the sixth chapter, they were surrounding the priests and the others with them, surrounded that city once every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they surrounded that city 7 times. And then they were told to shout. And at the shout of faith, that city fell flat. But that shout was an indication for those messengers to go to Rahab's house and deliver her before the judgment fell. And my dear friends, remember there is another shout to be heard, and that shout may be heard tonight. It's the shout of the Son of God, who is coming to take his own home to glory. And will that shout be the signal for you to be delivered from coming judgment when the Lord takes us home, or will it be the signal for your destruction? Oh, friend, these are things that we should solemnly weigh up in the presence of God tonight. Will that mighty shout, which we are longing to hear, we who know him as our Savior, will that summon you out of the scene before the judgment falls, or will it be a signal for your destruction? Oh, my dear friends, these things are very solemn indeed. One feels the solemnity of the moment because the Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and he's coming to take his own out of this world. Then, oh, how solemn, then the judgment of God will fall upon this Christ-rejecting world. And where will you be then, dear sinner friend? Just ask yourself that question now in the presence of God. Do not put it off a moment. Delay is dangerous. Why, the Lord may come while we're standing here tonight, and many of us would shout for joy if he came. We're longing to see him, to be with him. But how would it affect you, dear young people, children of the saints here tonight, maybe strangers who have come in? I say, friend, how would the coming of the Lord affect you? If you're not ready, you'd be left behind for judgment, and there'd be no way of escape. Friend, judgment is about to break upon this Christ-rejecting world. But thank God, there is a way of escape from judgment tonight, and it's found only in the person of the Son of God and in his shed blood. I believe I'm right in saying that faith is connected with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ about 100 times in the New Testament and only twice in connection with his work. Oh, how precious that is. What a solid foundation to rest upon. It shows that the work of Calvary was God's work, and it's valued according to the one who accomplished it, his beloved Son. And I ask you again, dear sinner, can you not put your trust in him who has forever satisfied God's holy claims and his heart of love? Well, we know not how long the day of grace will last,
You know, the dear young ones here may be looking forward to a long period on this earth. You may have made your plans even for tomorrow. But, my dear friend, how do you know you'll ever live to carry them out? Or we've met people, and you have too, who have laid all the plans out for the future, but they've never carried them out. God has stepped in and altered their course and cut them off. How true and how solemn. Oh, friends, have you made plans for tomorrow? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Why, the Lord may come tonight, I repeat, and take his own home to glory. And then you, dear sinner friend, you'd be left behind for the judgment of God. And there's no possible way of escape. No more offers of mercy. No, it's judgment. And so, friends, you and I tonight are shut up to one of two things. Grace or judgment. Which is it? Which is it? Does the judgment of God hang over your guilty head? Or how can you leave this hall and go to sleep tonight, knowing that you are condemned already, awaiting the execution of God's judgment upon you? My dear friend, there's no need for you to go home in that state, in that condition. You can have the joy here tonight, just where you're sitting, the joy of forgiveness of sins and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And his precious blood is available tonight to wash all your sins away and make you fit for God's holy presence. Well, how precious to find that this dear woman did not wait till the men returned, but they put that scarlet line in the window. Oh, friends, this speaks of the precious blood of Christ. And again I say from God's word, without the shedding of blood there is no remission, no forgiveness of sin. Have you been washed in the precious blood of Christ? Or are you still in your sin? Oh, friend, it's one thing or the other. Indeed it is. Well, we find then, and she agreed to their suggestion. She said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. Verse 21, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. How very wonderful and precious. Oh, I love to think of this portion of this chapter. That dear wicked woman deserved nothing else but an eternity in hell, but she was sheltered by, so to speak, in type of the blood of Christ. She put that scarlet line in the window, and there she was, happy behind it, like the children of Israel, sheltered by the blood of that lamb. And they had two things also, you know. They had the blood to shelter them from judgment, and they had the word of God to assure them of their safety. Oh, how precious. And we, as believers, have the same two things tonight. We who are sheltered by the precious blood of Christ, we have his word to assure us of our safety and security from judgment. Oh, friends, do you have these two blessed truths? The precious blood of Jesus and God's precious immutable word. Oh, what a solid foundation to rest upon, the eternal word of God and the work of Christ at Calvary. Now may we turn over to the sixth chapter just for a moment. There isn't time, as we all understand, to go into all the details of these chapters, but just to pick out a verse or two. First verse of the sixth chapter, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. Shut up. Oh, friends, these are solemn words. I do feel here tonight there may be several here whose hearts are shut up against the love and grace of God, against the Christ of God. God has not left the poor, helpless sinner to die in his sins. He sent an heavenly messenger from heaven to manifest his heart of love and grace to the sinner. And so, dear friend, if your heart is shut up, God offers his mercy seat, his Christ, his salvation for the lost and ruined sinner's acceptance. And if your heart is shut up against
Christ and his salvation. Friends, you're shutting out the only blessed Savior there is for sinners. What a solemn thing for you to be guilty of, to shut out the Son of God, to say no to him, to think that he is the one who bled and died for you on the cross, the one who came under the judgment of a holy, sin-hating God and bore the wrath of God due to sin. He's the very one who turns to you in all the love and grace of his heart, and he invites you to come to him and receive him as your Savior. Oh, friends, what have you done with Jesus? Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus? Oh, let us emphasize that question here tonight. Ask yourself that same question that Pilate did. What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do then with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? My dear friends, if you have not received Jesus, you have shut him out of your heart and you have said no to him. The blessed Lord has said himself, he that is not with me is against me. These are solemn words, friends, but they are from the lips of the Redeemer, the Holy Son of God. He that is not with me is against me. Oh, dear sinner friend, do you not see that if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are against him. You are against him tonight, and what a solemn thing for you. And remember, he'll soon be against you. The one who now says, come unto me, has also said, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear cometh. Oh, what solemn words these are from the lips of the Son of God. And it's this blessed one who invites you to come to him tonight, friends, just as you are in all your sin and guilt and ruin, and receive him as your Lord and Savior. It's not, you know, learning something about the Savior. It's not knowing lots of things about him. It's a matter of receiving him. For it tells us in the first chapter of John's Gospel, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you believed on his name? You may have believed lots of things about him, but have you believed on his name to the saving of the soul? Have you received God's testimony concerning his beloved Son? Have you believed the message of judgment to come? And have you taken shelter under the precious blood of Christ that you might escape the judgment to come? Oh, friends, there is no way of escape from the judgment apart from the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again I say, thank God that blood is available tonight. And you can have the joy and assurance of being sheltered by it, and to having a title to glory and cleansed from all sin through his precious blood. I was once visiting a prison in Nassau, and a prisoner pushed a card through the prison bars to me. He said, I want you to look at this. And as I looked at this big chart, it was telling me that he had given a gallon of blood for patients in the hospital. And the dear man, of course, was very proud of the fact, and well, he might be. He'd made a great sacrifice. He'd given a gallon of his life's blood for the poor sick patients in the hospital. I said, well, friend, you've certainly made a wonderful sacrifice. Indeed you have. I doubt whether I could do that, give a gallon of blood. Well, he did anyway. But I said, friend, may I tell you of one who has given his life's blood for me, and that precious blood which was shed at Calvary was not to prolong my life here on earth like your blood was to prolong the life of patients in the hospital, but his precious blood was shed to wash all my sins away and make me fit for God's holy presence. Oh, my dear friend, I said, do you not see the difference in the value of your blood and the blood of Christ? Your blood undoubtedly was given as a sacrifice to help the poor people in the hospital, to prolong their lives. But, oh, my dear friend, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It not only prolongs life, but we have everlasting life as a result of faith in the person of Christ and in his shed blood. And perhaps there are some here tonight who have heard about the blood of Jesus. Perhaps you have placed a certain amount of value upon it. But, oh, my dear friend, that's not sufficient. You must be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. You must take shelter behind the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll remain in your sins, and you're unfit for God's holy presence, and you're bound for eternal hell. Oh, my dear friend, it may be some here tonight are under the delusion that there is no such place as hell. This is a popular thought today. And, my dear friend, are you going to believe what man says, or are you going to believe what God says? Friends, be definitely sure about this solemn truth and this blessed truth. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and one will last as long as the other. And every one of us here tonight, without exception, are going to one of those two places. As sure as you're sitting here, friends, you're either heaven-bound to be with Christ in glory, or you're going into the depths of hell, in the pit of destruction, where salvation will never reach you, and where there is not one drop of mercy. The rich man in hell cried for one drop of water, one drop of mercy, and he didn't get it. Why? We find in the Gospels there were six others cried for mercy, and they got it. The seventh, the rich man in hell, he cried for mercy, but he didn't get it. Why the difference? The sixth asked for mercy in time. The rich man asked too late, and he didn't get it. Oh, friend, see to it that you do not ask too late. There is mercy for the sinner tonight. There is salvation. There is cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I plead with you to avail yourself, like this poor wicked woman did, of this opportunity tonight to be sheltered by the precious blood of Christ before the judgment falls. And, friend, this judgment of God is going to fall. The acceptable year of the Lord is to be followed by the day of vengeance of our God. And see to it, dear friend, it does not fall upon you. If it does, you will be to blame entirely. You cannot blame God. He's manifested his love and the gift of his Son to save you from judgment, to save you from your sins, that you might be cleansed from all sin by the precious blood of his beloved Son. He's made every provision for you. And so if you perish, dear sinner friend, young or old, it'll be your fault entirely. You cannot and must not blame God. You cannot blame the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot blame me. You cannot blame the Scriptures. You'll have yourself to blame throughout eternity. Friends, where will you spend eternity? Prepare to meet thy God. You've all got to meet God, either in time or in eternity. You either have to meet him as a Savior God tonight, or you'll meet him as a judge. Because remember, this Blessed One, the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us in John 5 that the Father judgeth no man. He hath committed all judgment unto the Son, and he hath given him authority to execute the judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. But, oh, friends, that verse which comes in between those two is most precious to my soul. It's this: Verily, verily, I say unto you. Who's speaking there? It's the one who is appointed to be the judge. He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, friends, how precious those words, coming from the lips of the one who is soon to be the judge. He turns to the poor, lost, guilty sinner. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And this double oath of affirmation is found 25 times, I believe, in John's Gospel alone. The Son of God there is speaking, and it's, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I and you." Oh, how intensely individual this matter is. And it's the Son of God, remember, friend, who is addressing you tonight. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." What are you going to do about his voice? What are you going to do about his invitation? He says, "He that heareth my word." You've heard his word tonight. You've heard it many times. And he says, "And believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Oh, what precious truth. Friends, what is your attitude to the Lord Jesus? Have you treated the Son of God? Have you said no to him? Or have you received him by faith as your Lord and Savior? I solemnly warn you, dear friends, that the day of grace is well nigh over. The door of mercy will soon be shut. And if you haven't received Christ when he comes, you'll be shut out. Not only shut up, not only is that poor, wretched, wicked heart of yours shut up against the Son of God, but you'll be shut out as a result. Shut out from God's presence, abandoned in hell forever to endure the torments of hell. Remember, friends, in connection with the rich man and Lazarus, it says, "One was comforted." It speaks of the rich man as he was tormented. What a contrast. One was comforted, but thou art tormented. What is your portion, friend? Are you going to be comforted by being received into the Lord's presence, taken home to glory, comforted for all eternity in his loving presence? Or are you going to be tormented in hell forever, where there is not a drop of mercy, no Savior, no Christ, no blood, no life, no salvation? When I say no life, do not think I am suggesting the thought of annihilation. There's no such thought in the Word of God. No, there isn't. Satan would like you to believe that when you're dead, that's the end, that you're annihilated. There's nothing in the Word of God to suggest it. I say it reverently. How can the wrath of God abide upon one who is annihilated? No, friend, there's no such thing. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And we often hear people committing suicide, and they say, "That's the end of it all." It isn't. Men cannot take their lives, friend. God has given you an immortal life, an immortal soul. It's going to live on forever, either in heaven or hell. And when a person commits suicide, all he does is to transfer his existence from one world to another. He cannot take his life. It's God's given. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And friend, your soul is going to live forever in one of two places. And I ask you, friend, in love for your soul tonight, to have it settled as to which place you're going. It's either heaven or hell, and have it settled now, this very moment. Delay is dangerous. You may never, never have another opportunity. Christ is coming. Praise his name. Many of us here are waiting for him and longing to see him. But if he comes and finds you in a lost condition, it'll be forever too late for you, dear friend. And you will be shut out. Oh, I do trust that there is no one here tonight whose heart is shut up against the love and grace of God, against the Christ of God, the only Savior. Oh, friends, do what this poor wicked woman did. Avail yourself of the opportunity here and now to be sheltered by the precious blood of Christ. That scarlet thread was a type of the blood of Jesus, which sheltered her from the judgment to come. Well, may God speak to any unsaved soul here tonight who may be halting between two opinions. You who have not yet come to a decision, oh, make that decision now. Accept Christ as your Savior. Go on your way rejoicing in the knowledge of sin forgiven, cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, and sheltered from the judgment to come.